Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 174, stanzas 1 and 2. O all ye peoples, bless our God, aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. Thou, Lord, hast proved and tested us as silver tried by fire. Thy hand has made our burden great and thwarted our desire. Psalter 174, the stanzas 1 and 2. scripture reading for this evening you can find in the first book of Moses called Genesis, chapter 22, the first 19 verses. We mentioned to you Genesis 22, the first 19 verses. But before, we will do confession with the words of the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abram built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Thus far.
Let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who dwellest in the highest, and we may still be at thy footstool, thy sparing hand has been over us till this very moment, and we may still be in the land of the living in the days of grace. And thou givest that we may, with our children, go up to thy house of prayer, or may listen along by the way of the means. But thou hast given in this morning a sermon could be read in the midst of this congregation. And in this evening, thou hast given also safety for us to and brought us safely to this place. And Lord, what we needed in this morning, and what we needed in this afternoon, we need it again. And wilt thou not withhold thy spirit from us in listening to thy word, and in preaching thy word, and in laying the needs of the congregation before thee? Because if thou leavest us up to ourselves, give us over to ourselves what must become of us, perhaps we can bring forth a few words. But we have a church full of people. We have someone in a pulpit. But if thy spirit is missing, it will remain empty in the church. But we may be administered out of thy fullness. And Lord, wilt thou then use thy word to that end for the first time or by renewal in the heart of this one or that one? Yea, could it be all of us that thou wilt go from pew to pew and from heart to heart, that thou wilt work in the lives of our young children, our boys and girls, the youth of the congregation, but also among the older ones, even till the oldest among us. Lord, thou art still that same God who has done that so richly in the past, because thou hast given also in this area that thy people were found. And Lord, may then thy name be planted forth from child to child, from generation to generation. Lord, wilt thou not pass us by? There are many reasons from our side that thou should do that. But wilt thou then take reasons out of self? And wilt thou work mightily in the midst of the congregation, this part of thy vineyard? Lord, remember so in mercy. And wilt thou remember also thy servant whom thou hast placed in this place? When he is in another place, wilt thou give him the unction of thy spirit, and that he may experience that thou knowest of him? Lord, wilt thou be mindful of him? And when he must travel back again, wilt give traveling mercies. Remember to that end also the elders and the deacons here in the congregation, that they may do the labors faithfully, which thou hast laid upon their shoulders, and that they may do it also in dependency upon thee. Because thou knowest what man is by nature, or then we can think we can do it, but thou knowest how poor we are from ourselves, and that we thou may, as an humble, but also as a dependent child, O beg thee, if thou wilt, be mindful of us in all the labors thou hast laid upon the shoulders, in house visitation, in the catechism class, in other visits, in reading, O Lord, watch over them, and wilt thou provide also in the unknown future. Lord, remember also our young children, here present or at home. Remember them when they may go to school from day to day, or wherever they may receive the instruction. O wilt thou bless the labors which are spent, or that they may experience also in school that they are even not too young to be converted, or we are not too young to die, and neither we are too young to be converted. O wilt thou then remember our children? Think also of our youth, so here present, we may see them sitting here. Wilt thou be mindful of them? Much is there what tries to draw them away from the truths of thy word, but thou art stronger than all the powers of this world. Thou art stronger than the powers also of the religious world. Lord, keep them under thy truth, and wilt thou work in their hearts and life. Wilt thou remember our young fathers and young mothers, our men and women. Wilt thou be mindful of them in the busyness of life, or when much is laid upon their shoulders, and they so often are busy from early morning till late evening, and is there still time as a family to seek thee? Lord, wilt thou then bind the necessity of being reconciled with thee upon each one's heart? Wilt also remember the older ones in the congregation? Lord, thou knowest also what they need. Oh, when they are in the evening of their life, when the days become short, or when they soon must meet thee, oh, that they be prepared to meet their Maker. Lord, remember them in mercy. And there is among us also a mourning family. And wilt thou then remember the mourning family when a dear mother is taken away? Lord, wilt thou watch over this family and give what is needed when that empty place must be experienced, or that they may find shelter by thee, and that thou wilt fill that empty place with thyself? Lord, and we have also heard one also struggling with cancer, and that we may lay him also before thee. Wilt thou watch over him, care for him, and wilt thou bless the treatments which are used, and wilt also be also surprising God, thou who can do wonders, or wilt thou also remember, according to the body, but above for the soul, Lord, that these ways of oppression may be used for the conversion. Lord, remember so in mercy. And so we may lay all the cares and all the needs of the congregation before thee. Wilt thou remember the mourning ones, the sick ones, the afflicted ones, where hidden crosses are, those who also struggle through life, because we live also in a time also mentally, so much comes to us, and there are so many also who cannot bear it any longer, it seems. But Lord, give so strength from day to day, and will thou be a God ever near unto them. So when we live in a time where we see also a decline around us, a general decline in the world and in the nation in which we may live, Lord, will thou then give? That we may be found much upon our knees, if thou wilt give us a life in the fear of thy name. Or then Satan goes about as a roaring lion, or as an angel of light, seeking to devour. And then he knows that he has but a short time. But thou art the God who has said that thou wilt plant forth thy name, and wilt go forth with gathering thy church, till the last one will be gathered in, till the end of the world. And now we beseech thee, O God, wilt thou not take away the candlestick of thy word from us, but that it may remain also here in Ontario, O that thy word may still go forth with power divine and strengthen to that end thy servants whom thou hast given. Help them in the manifold labors, and that they may do it, not all sighing, but looking up unto thee for thy help and strength. Remember all thy servants, wherever thou hast placed them, the length and the breadth of the earth. Will thou watch over them? Remember at the mission fields. Thou knowest what is needed in Bolivia and other mission fields. Thou knowest also the vacant positions. We may also lay that before thee. Will thou fill those positions with the man of thy choosing? Lord, remember the students in the theological school. And when the season is there, when the call goes out, if there are who are feeling that call to the ministry in their heart, oh Lord, may they come forward. And will thou gladden by thy deeds? And will thou then provide also for the unknown future? And Lord, and thou hast gladdened us by thy deeds, also to send one of thy servants from the old country, that he may serve also on this side of the ocean, and today he may serve in Chilliwack. And Lord, will thou also be on his right and on his left? And when we hope to meet in this week as a classes for West in Sunnyside, will thou then be in our midst, and will thou also bring thy servant safely to that place, and will thou make all things well, and may we so sigh for one another. We'll so be with so the classes for Midwest and with the classes East when they hope to meet within 2 weeks. Lord, will thou also be with them and give so in these meetings what is needed, and will thou watch over thy church, and will thou go forth also with gathering thy church from among us. Oh, what a blessing it is what we still may have, that thy word may still go forth, that we may still have thy servants in our midst, that we may still come together in all freedom, but we can also be so satisfied with what we have, and are missing that lively administration of thy word, Lord, that we may so be beggars at thy throne of grace. Will thou not leave us and forsake us, but go before us into the unknown future. And to that end, we may also lay before thee the work what is done among the Jewish people. Lord, will thou take away that veil what is still upon their faces, and that at thy time so may be experienced that they may learn to know the Christ of the Scriptures. Lord, remember so a world in need, a church in need. Many places there is war, there is unrest, there are disasters. Will thou be also with a world in need? May it drive us out unto thee. And in all what takes place in this world, we also hear the footsteps of thy coming. Lo, he cometh to judge the nations. And Lord, prepare us for that great day of days. And may there also be among us a people who may sigh with the apostle of old when he said, come, Lord Jesus, come. Or it can be a people. And what a wonder that would be, would it also be in our midst. Become so tired of sin, become so tired of self, and must say, Lord, when will come that day that I may, when sin will be abolished from this world, and when we may serve thee, and with all our heart, with all our strength. And here they can never do it. Are there moments that they may have that communion? But so often they have to walk their way through darkness, through trials and strife, as we have sang together. But there are also moments, than they may be a moment above the strife. Lord, wilt thou use thy word to that end also in this evening, that they may hear thy voice in thy word, and that their hearts also may be declared, and the Christ of the Scriptures may be set forth, and that he may receive all the honor and glory. Wilt thou convert what is unconverted, strengthen what thou hast wrought, what is building upon a false foundation, may that also be discovered, or that thy servant may be used in this evening hour, also to separate the precious from the vile, and wilt thou do wonders of true conversion. Help to that end thy servant, give him order in his thoughts, and wilt thou give also help in the language, and that this evening may be to thy honor and to thy glory, to the salvation of sinners. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll sing from Psalter 109, the four stanzas. The offering on the altar burnt gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou gavest unto me. From Psalter 109, the four stanzas. In the meantime, your offerings will be received. The Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, throughout the Old Testament, time and again, we see a need for a lamb. Already soon after the fall in Adam, when Adam fell away from God, then there an offer has been brought. When Adam and Eve needed to be clothed, an animal needed to be slaughtered to that end. Throughout Genesis, we see it. Throughout the offerings which was needed to be brought, we read Leviticus, and we read the books of Moses. Time and again, there is that question, where is the lamb? We also see that by Moses and the prophets declared, they have pointed to the necessity of the lamb. And when we think, especially Isaiah 53, how richly is that lamb declared for a guilty people, that lamb would come. Finally, we also see that lamb declared when John the Baptist was at the borders of Jordan, when he was preaching there to a guilty people. And there we see those disciples of John close to him. And what was now needed for those disciples, you say, they needed a lamb. And it came a time John saw that lamb. His eyes were opened for that lamb. He knew that lamb. And then out of experience he could say, "Behold the Lamb of God, who carries away the sins of this world." So time and again that lamb is pointed out throughout God's word. And then finally we see that Lamb of God, Christ himself, being crucified, where he was nailed to the cross as that sacrifice for the sin of his people. Behold the Lamb of God. And what must God's servants now do, dear congregation? They must now always point out that lamb to a guilty people, what is now so necessary. Our eyes must be opened for it, for who and what we have become through our deep fall in Adam, but also that we cannot live without misery, but there comes a need for that deliverance in that Lamb of God, but also will come the great gratitude for God who has given that lamb for a guilty people. In this evening hour, for a moment, we would like also to consider this. From the history, what is read to us, Genesis 22, from that history, what is read, so I would like to read the verses 7 and 8. Genesis 22, the verses 7 and 8. "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" So far our text. With the help of the Lord, we would like to speak of a required sacrifice. In the first place, going without a lamb. Secondly, asking for a lamb. And in the third place, God providing a lamb. So a required sacrifice. First, going without a lamb. You can see that. So in verse 2, there we read how Abraham has taken his son, he has taken wood, he has taken fire, he has taken his knife, and there we see them going to Moriah. But we do not see a lamb going along, going without a lamb. Secondly, asking for a lamb. We have read that in the words of our text, where Isaac asked, "My father, where is now that lamb? Now we have everything. We have fire, we have wood, we have a knife. But we miss something. I need a lamb, because without a lamb we cannot have a sacrifice." So asking for a lamb, and Eliza Ritz's lesson in declared. And then in the third place, God providing for a lamb. You can read that so in verse 13. "And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son." So that a lamb was provided. What a wonder that was, children. Isaac could come off from that altar, and that lamb was placed on that altar. And therein we see there was a substitute for Isaac. And therein lies such a rich lesson. You may say that already. And ask that question, would there be a substitute for us too? Is there also in your heart and life also a need for that lamb? Otherwise, it is one of the two. It is us who must burn on that wrath of God forever and ever. Or there is one else. It is that precious Son of God who has become the Lamb of God, who has become that sacrifice, and who has also quenched that wrath of God, and is now can now give that eternal life to his people. And may the Lord provide in this evening, in speaking and in listening. Dear congregation, very precious history lies before us. I think the children, they know this history. Perhaps being told by your teacher, your parents have read it to you from the children's Bible, and so you, this history is not unknown to you. Here lies a history wherein also we can call that the trial of faith of Abraham, because Abraham was called here by the Lord, because what has happened here. So Abraham, we all know where he came from. He came from Ur of the Chaldeans, so he was come there from the east. He was brought there. He was a servant of the idols, but the Lord has taken him out of that idol worship service, has brought him via a detour, has brought him into Canaan, to the land which was promised unto him. And there we see Abraham. Many years has gone by. Oh, what a trial has gone already over Abraham and Sarah when they were without a child. They did not have a child, and it was a great trial for them, because the Lord had promised to give a child, and there came not no child. So would the Lord not fulfill that promise to them? And that is also given to Abraham, that he has taken the matters in his own hand when he has taken Hagar. And we know what has it ended. It has given an Ishmael. That was not the child of the promise. But the Lord, at his time and in his way, he has given also a child to Abraham. And so he had his Isaac. And what must that have been for Abraham when he has received his Isaac, when he was that child of his old age, Isaac? Oh, then he had perhaps set all his hope upon Isaac. And in Isaac, what was there? In Isaac was also the future of Abraham. There lies also his salvation, lies declared in Isaac, but also the salvation of the church. You can understand when now this call came to him, when now that Lord began to speak to Abraham, and said unto Abraham, we read that in verse 1, God did tempt Abraham and said, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Therein we see also the readiness of Abraham already. Abraham was already, also he was listening, what has the Lord to say to me, but also willing to go that way, what the Lord would go with him. We see that already in that first verse. Behold, here I am. And now we read in verse 2, where the Lord said to Abraham, and that must as it were, every word is a matter here. Take now thy son, that is thy Isaac, that is your Isaac, Abraham, where do we read? Thy only son. Perhaps they will say, yeah, but Abraham had more children because he had also an Ishmael. No, in Isaac there lies the promise, and in Isaac alone was the salvation of the church and also the salvation for Abraham. And then you can understand also how difficult this command was, what the Lord has given to Abraham. He said, now you have to take your only son, and as it were, he adds added to it, whom thou lovest. And we can see it, Abraham and Isaac, how have they loved one another. There was a bond between father and son. What a blessing that is, the congregation, when that still may be found. And as a lesson, but also may draw from this history, the bond in the family. How is that between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, and also among one another? Is there still that bond of love towards one another? Therein we see also in the time in which we live that Satan also goes about as a roaring lion, also to seek to destroy also our families as much as possible. And that we also see in the world what we see as we're, especially the Western world, shifting to a society wherein that bond cannot be found anymore. Father, son, mother and daughter. So the family as the cornerstone of the society that must be broken. Here in this history we see that love, what there was between Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac has received now that command from the Lord. He said, now you must take thy son. And it says then so in God's word, offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham, now you have to go. Now you have to go to that mountain which I will tell you. And then we see Abraham making himself ready to go. Simple, can follow the history. Verse 3, we read, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which the Lord had told him. So we see him. I said a trial of faith. It was not a trial for Abraham. But we see him taking that wood, making everything ready, and we see them going. Abraham's faith was great at this moment. But even also later, because they had to travel, not only for a day, but for 3 days, as we read. So what must have been in those 3 days when we see Abraham traveling to that mountain, to Moriah? Would it have not have been a storm in his life? Would it have not been shaken back and forth? We do not read of it. We don't know what has lived in the heart of Abraham. Or perhaps there were many questions and riddles. But we know from the book of the Hebrews, by faith, also Abraham has gone that way. And now we see him by faith going, because we read so in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. So by faith he went that way. And he believed that the Lord was able even to give Isaac back out of death. He believed that. And so we see them going. And now we see them going. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering after those 3 days. Now we see, as it were, they come to that mountain, they stop. And then those two servants, they had to stay behind. But that wood is now laid upon Isaac, bound upon his back. And now Abraham take the knife, he take the fire, and now we see them going together, because verse 6, it says it so clearly. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. There we have the history for our first point, and what a rich lesson lies now declared in it. Congregation, this history is not only in history just what has taken place with Abraham and Isaac. Now we must also look further, what is now the Lord also teaching us through this history, and what is he now also teaching you and me with it? Or is he not also a rich picture declared, wherein we may see also that work, what the Lord does in the hour of regeneration? Because when we see here, then we may see Abraham also as the one who has laid that wood upon the back of Isaac. And now we may see also how the Lord make known the guilt to a sinful man. And now we may see in this, also in Isaac, a picture of the church. I know we can also see in Isaac a picture of the Lamb of God, but I would like to explain this portion. Isaac as a type of the church. What do we then see here? They're on the bottom of that mountain. That guilt or that wood is laid upon Isaac. So the Lord does that in the hour of regeneration. What does the Lord do then? Is there a people here in Cortland who knows about that? What does the Lord do in the hour of regeneration? Then eternity comes in the time. Then the Lord opens the eyes that we have to meet God. And we cannot meet God also in that state in which we are born. Then we begin to see who and what we are. So what is now done by Abraham, the guilt is bound upon him. Does the Lord not do that? In the hour of regeneration, that we become a guilty sinner before the Lord. Are there also here in Cortland who still know of that? Oh, that guilt that begins to press them, and there they have to go. It is laid upon them, and we see Abraham and Isaac going together. And now we see them going upon that mountain, and we see something has to take place, and it cannot take place. Isaac knows that. He begins to feel that if there is no lamb, then I must be sacrificed. Did he know that there was a lamb? Did he know that he had to be sacrificed? We cannot see that in the history. If Abraham had told him or not, we do not know. One thing we know, when they have come there, and Abraham has placed that altar, built that altar, and placed that wood upon it, then he has bound Isaac upon that wood. And there, how old was Isaac? Different thoughts about it. Some say 13, 15, others say 25. We know from scripture he must have been, he was a lad, so, but that was also called still when they were still very young. 25 is possible. Would Isaac not have been able to flee away or even to make himself loose from Abraham? Certainly. But Isaac has been made willing to be bound upon that altar. But we hope to hear that in our last point. Here in this point we see them going up upon that mountain. I'd like to go to our second point, asking for a lamb. We see them going upon that mountain. And children, do you see them both together? Abraham, Isaac. You see Isaac with that burden upon his back, and he begins to talk. He begins to say, "My father," see how tender he speaks to his father. And I may say to you children, do you also do that to your parents? Do you also speak reverently to your fathers, to your mothers? And to that end, fathers and mothers, how do you also deal with your children? There lies a lesson here. Also how we have to communicate together. Oh, there is that respect. We read that so here from Isaac towards Abraham. He says, "My father." He says, "My father." And he says, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire. I see it. I see the fire in thy hand." And what was that? That were those roots, what they had, juniper trees, those roots, they put fire and they were glowing. And when they had that in kind of in a box, they could have taken it along. And then that remained glowing. And then when they had to sacrifice with some air, then it burned again. So the fire had with him. And I see also the knife. And I have the wood with me. But where is the lamb? So there comes a need for the lamb. Oh, what a rich picture lies here also in the life of those guilty sinners who initially have learned the guilt, who have initially have learned that they have that burden upon their back. Or when we see that also in the life of Bunyan, how he writes about that when Christian flees out of the city of destruction with that burden upon his back. Oh, I have that burden. I have that wood. And that wood will be burned. And you know what will take place? Isaac will be placed upon that wood, and that wood will burn Isaac. So it is that sin what will destroy us. It will that sin also when we end outside of God, dear congregation, when we end outside of God, that will be burning that sin forever and ever, without ever being burned, because that will, what must that be? Then that everlasting fire, that sin, that will burn forever, and we will never be burned. Oh, congregation, there lies such a rich lesson here in this history. And Isaac knows that. He says, "There is that wood, and I see the fire of thy wrath, the wrath of God. I see that knife of God's justice. And how must it now become right and with me? How must, when I don't see a lamb, and there comes a need for that lamb, where is the lamb? Is there still need for a lamb?" Or that we can speak about Christ. We can speak about faith. We cannot speak about the rich Christ and a poor sinner. But has there ever become a true need for that Lamb of God? Because we live also in a time wherein it is so true what the Apostle John had said to the congregation there in Asia Minor. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased and with goods, and have no need of nothing. And thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor. So there we see that need wherein Isaac was, where is now that lamb for the burnt offering, need for a lamb. Do we see an answer comes from Abraham? What takes place there on that mountain? Abraham begins to speak to his Isaac. And what does he see? Says, we have read that together in verse 7, verse 8. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So God will provide himself for a burnt offering. Think about this. Abraham gives, as it were, a promise to Isaac. He says, Isaac, there will be a lamb when we must offer, when we must make the sacrifice, there will be a lamb. And the Lord himself will provide for that lamb. Would it have given comfort in the life of Isaac? I believe so. It has given also a certain hope in the life of Isaac. Now again we go to Isaac as a type of the church. What do we see here? Also that hope what the Lord has given, or what the Lord sometimes gives also to his true Zionites, who he has made known their guilt. They have seen the guilt. They have experienced that wrath of God. They have seen that knife of God's justice. But where is that lamb? Comes a people who begins to need a lamb. They say, with all my self-righteousness, I cannot appear before God. What do I need? Comes a need for Christ. The beginning of that life, so often, there's a need for God, a missing of God. And that is painful, missing God. That is very painful. But if we begin to miss Christ, even more painful comes a longing. Who is he then? Where is that lamb? Where is that lamb? I'm missing a lamb. But now that promise, the Lord himself will provide for a lamb, my Isaac. The Lord will do that. And so it can be. Also in the life of God's people, they can so sit under the word of God. They can listen. And are in the need of their life. And they may sometimes hear from the pulpit or read in God's word. They say, there is a lamb. And when the Lord can come so strong in their hearts and convince them, that lamb that will also be for me. Also for me. And that gives a hope in the soul. Say, also for me. And they still stand with empty hands. But at that moment, when the Lord gives that promise in their heart, and the faith is in exercise, then there is hope for that lamb. And they, as it were, they think it is all well for a moment. Perhaps Isaac had not even felt that burden upon his back anymore. Thought that it was gone, but we see them still going. And so it can be the life of God's people thinking, soon that burden will I be delivered from. But coming on top of that mountain, and there is no lamb. And what do you see there? With all what has taken place in life, all what the Lord has given in their life, to the end in death. You say, that's a painful way. There's a way against my flesh and my blood, as certainly it is. But in that way, the Lord also makes a greater need and will also become a wonder. when the Lord begins to provide for that lamb, the Lord will provide. And do we not see, also in that speaking of Abraham, also that the Lord sometimes comes so comfortably to his people, when he speaks also in Jeremiah 3, I have loved thee with an eternal love. O my child, I will provide for that lamb. Or when he maybe also begins to point of what we read in Job, where it is spoken, when that Job, as it were, comes to that destruction, when it is spoken, I have found a ransom. I have found him. And so it can be in the life of God's people that there is hope. Their eyes that are directed on high say, in him and him alone, and in him lies it, and that is the hope of their life. In him it is, and the Lord will provide. But to end, if all what has taken place, as it were, it ends in death, we will see that in our third point. But let us sing first from Psalter 243, stanza 10 through 12. On thy anointed wrath is poured, as if thy covenant were abhorred. And what follows, stanzas 10, 11, and 12 of Psalter 243. required sacrifice, going without a lamb, asking for a lamb, God providing a lamb. We have followed Abraham and Isaac. We have seen them going upon that mountain. We have seen there was some hope in the heart of Isaac. Oh, the Lord will provide for a lamb. And now we see them coming down the top of that mountain. We see, as it were, Abraham busy. He's there building that altar. He made that altar ready. And then he takes that wood from the back of Isaac, spreads that out upon that altar. Everything is now ready. And still that question, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? But what do we see? There is no lamb yet. There is no lamb. So what has to take place? Isaac had to be offered. So what do we see? Abraham takes Isaac, and then so Isaac is bound upon that altar, as of those sacrifices were bound together upon that altar. And then no lamb yet. And then we see Abraham taking that knife, and then in a moment he would have slaughtered his son. But as we see and we read of that great wonder what takes place, then a voice comes from behind him, "Abraham, Abraham." Now we see also the urgency in it. And Abraham said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withhold thy son, thine only son, from me." Herein we see also that comparison again with verse 2, where also the Lord has spoken to Abraham about Isaac, who he was. So therein we see how the Lord knew also the heart of Abraham. And now Abraham, in that trial of faith what came upon him, as gold he has coming out of that trial. And the Lord has said to him, "I know that thou fearest God." Did the Lord not know that Abraham was fearing God? Certainly the Lord knew that. But now also by that trial of faith, also that faith of Abraham has been strengthened by it. Therefore, in sometimes through ways of oppression, the Lord comes also to try that faith of his people, but also to strengthen that faith of his people. And so we see also Abraham's faith strengthened by this. And what takes place? Then it becomes true what Abraham had believed. The Lord himself will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. But well, he then looks behind him. What does he see? Children, we have seen that in that scripture when we read it already. A ram that was caught in the thicket. We see that ram there. Where is that ram? Just behind him. Where did the ram come from? Does not say it in God's word where it comes from. Cannot be from Abraham's flock, because Abraham had traveled for 3 days already. So it was a ram that came from somewhere else, from a neighboring flock. We do not know, but the Lord has provided for that lamb. And there in those thickets, that ram was caught with his horns, and there he could not go away anymore. And then Abraham knew wherefore that ram was there, because now we see him taking that ram, and now we see him binding that ram. And Isaac may come off of that altar, and that ram is placed upon that altar. And soon after that, what do we see? Now we see also that knife has been used, the fire has been used, and now we see the smoke going up to heaven, and then that ram that is given as a substitute for Isaac. And then instead of Isaac, that lamb is now burned. And what a rich picture lies there. Oh, what a wonder must it have been as well for Abraham as for Isaac, when they stood beside that altar, has looked upon that altar, when they have seen that smoke coming up, Isaac could come home with Abraham. Oh, then his life was being spared, and Abraham could keep his son also for him. Oh, what a blessing when they have gone home after that. Now we read how they have traveled together and they went together. Oh, the life, such a rich lesson also in this. Time is almost gone, congregation, but also in short, also to explain what has taken place and how that is experienced also in the hearts of God's people. Oh, there we see, also when they have come there on the top of that mountain, when a guilty sinner, or with all what has taken place in his life, or then he sees, or that the honor of God may not come short. God's honor needs to be satisfied. God's justice needs to be justified. And therefore, if that costs my life, or then comes a people, becomes willing also to, or the honor of God becomes more worth to them than their own salvation. It's a tender point, congregation, because it is not so in the life of God's people that they say, oh, cast me in hell. No, they will never ask for that. I don't believe so. But what will take place is a people begins to bow under that justice of God. They say, Lord, if it costs my life, oh, then thou art righteous. And thou art a good-doing God. I can say nothing of that. They begin to bow under it. But under that bowing of it, what do we also see? When that church thinks, now I will be lost. Now it will be for eternally lost for me. Or then the Lord comes in between. I have found that ransom. And I do find that ram there in that thicket. Now there is that ram there. Or the place where Christ comes in between, from behind that justice of God. But he says, now, I have suffered, I have died. So for this sinner, he has given his life. And now that ram, what we read here, in the thicket. Oh, he could not go anywhere. He was caught in the thicket. Now we see that such a rich picture of Christ also declared. Because Christ, when he had himself given, as though he was there in those thickets, because in eternity, in the Council of Peace, children, you have learned that in catechism class, in the Council of Peace, that question has gone out from the Father, who is he who will give himself as a surety for my people? Because I need to have my people, what will fall away from me, that I may have back my people. And there was the Father, the Son, who has given himself willingly to his Father and says, Father, I come to do thy will. And it was his delight to do the will of his Father. So therein we see two things, congregation. The love of the Father in giving his Son, his only beloved Son, given to a guilty people, but also the love of God, the Son, in giving himself also to for a guilty people. And from all eternity, he has given himself. And there we see him, as it were, what is written here, that ram caught in the thicket by his horns. He could not come from under it anymore, and did not want to come from under it anymore, but was willingly to come at Father's time to this low earth. Then we see him. Also, throughout the Old Testament, that was promised that he will come. And then when the fullness of the time came, Christ has given himself. Oh, then he came under the law. He came in that Bethlehem's manger. There he was laid. There he had to go that way of humiliation. And we see him that way from Bethlehem all the way to Golgotha. When we see him the way that through Gethsemane. When we see him there in at Gabbatha. When we see him nailed to the cross. And when we see him, as it were, as that burnt offering given up to the Lord for the sins of his people, now we see him also where he has given himself as that mediator, as that substitute, and therefore a guilty people can be set in freedom because Christ has given himself for that people. And so that people is set free. And what a wonder that becomes for them. They say, why me, Lord? Why was it that thou hast looked upon me, upon such a wretch like me? Oh, then there comes that wonderment. And as Abraham and Jacob and Isaac stood by that altar, have seen that smoke coming up, there has been joy in their hearts. And so we see that also in the life of God's people. Oh, what a joy that gives in their heart. Or that they may rejoice in their Savior. But also there is joy in the heart of the Father when he may have his child back. When that communion may be restored again. And when we may see also in this history, when Abraham and Isaac may go back together, travel back to Beersheba, where they go and they are united together. Is it not so? Also in the life of God's people, when the Lord, or when that justice, when that wrath of God, or when that is being poured out upon another, and when that child, as it is being brought to the Father heart, and then the communion is restored. And that's now that blessing, but also can learn from this history. Not only the guilt is taken away, it's a blessing when the guilt is taken away, but more, not only the guilt taken away, but also the communion restored. Because the guilt can have been taken away. Sometimes you hear it. Yeah, I will forgive you, but I will never forget it. And sometimes it is forgiven, but you may not come in my house anymore. So there is still something in between. But here, what do we read? Or they went together. And so it is. When the Lord comes to restore a guilty sinner in a communion with his Father, or then those two, they will go together. Or then they have to go, or that sinner has to go through this valley of tears. That is certainly true. Or is still that way what they have to go. But the time will come, people of the Lord. Then they may go into the eternal joy. And then that communion will never be broken anymore. But then they may rejoice in him. Now the question comes to you and to me, dear congregation. When death will come, and death will come. Because we are all subject to death. Oh, in Adam we have eaten ourselves to death, and it will also come upon us. And where will we then be? Is there then a lamb for us? Do we know of that lamb? Is there ever been a need for that lamb? Or then congregation, and I hope I will have no rest under the sole of your foot until you may know that is that lamb also for me. We have begun this service with that question. Oh, then throughout the Old Testament, there is that question, where is the lamb? Has that ever been also your question? May I go a little further? Has it ever brought you in a great strait? Has it ever brought you in a great need? But has it also, by faith, also that your eyes has been opened for that sacrifice of Christ. I for you, that you otherwise should have died the eternal death. And when in the last week, also that sacrament of the Lord's Supper was administered in your midst, or what a rich picture do you then see also at the table, where that bread was broken and the wine was poured out, therein we see also that sacrifice, what Christ has brought for a guilty people. May then the Lord also give some taste of it, or it is so necessary. Otherwise, how must we enter eternity? Oh, may the Lord then give also that our eyes may be upon him, but more, that the eyes of the Lord may be upon us. As we read in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto his prayers. We have seen it in this history. The eyes of the Lord were open upon Isaac and upon Abraham. For Isaac there was a lamb. Oh, what a warning lies also in this history. But what do we also read in 1 Peter 2, 3, verse 12? But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. For Isaac there was a lamb. Will there be a lamb for you? Or we can despise that lamb. We can do that in a brutish way. We can do that also in a pious way. But it will be required of us. I have preached unto you that Lamb of God, but you did not want to have me king over you, or that it may come as a guilt for us, and that it may humble us before the Lord. And then I still, as also your minister, may from Sunday to Sunday set up before you, behold the Lamb of God. Amen. Lord, it is in the evening hour of this thy holy Sabbath day that we may draw near unto thee in prayer to acknowledge thee for what thou hast given unto us. Thou hast given 3 times thy word could be proclaimed in the midst of the congregations here in Ontario. Thou hast given to be under thy word, wilt thou bless it with eternal blessings. And that also the need for a lamb so may be bound upon each one of us. And if we may know something of that Lamb of God, that we also may learn to know him more and more. That we may daily may ask to receive more knowledge of God, more knowledge of self. And that will give also a need for Christ, give a need for that Lamb of God. Lord, give thou no rest under the sole of our foot, ere we may rest in thee alone. Or wilt thou then do wonders? Remember us in the week which we have begun. Will give help and strength to each one of us to do the labors, in official labors, in school, and wherever our place is. Wilt thou remember our children also in the studies? And will thou go with us into the unknown future? Will thou forgive all what was sinful and amiss? And will thou bless thy word? We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll close this service with the singing of Psalter 163, the 3 stanzas. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face. And what follows, the 3 stanzas of Psalter 163.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.